10,000 watts of pure alternative radio. This is 91.5 WRPI Troy.
You're listening to WRPI Troy, New York, the best radio station in the world. Yay!
And this is In the Spirit. I'm your host, Gary Goldberg. I want to thank you for joining us today, and we're just so blessed with the wonderful guests that we have on, and I want to thank everybody that Karen Mazen Miller and Margaret Bernstein, and now Pragito Dove, we're going to be speaking with. Now, research studies have proven again and again that meditation is beneficial on multiple levels, physically, mentally, spiritually, and has been shown to fight the debilitating effects of stress and increase the practitioner's overall sense of well-being and laughter. In her new book, Laughter, Tears, Silence, Expressive Meditations to Calm Your Mind and Open Your Heart, author and meditation expert Pragito Dove presents a revolutionary approach to meditation using expressive techniques. Techniques like laughing, crying, and yes, silence. In fact, Pragito claims all meditation techniques properly start with the body, involve physical activity, not with the mind. Musician and recording artist David Pramal and Mitten write, in this useful and comprehensive book, Pragito Dove offers over 100 techniques, including a series of expressive techniques to release physical, mental, and emotional stress. Once the lid is taken off the proverbial pressure cooker, we can more easily experience inner silence and stillness. Pragito Dove is the author of Lunchtime Enlightenment and the president of Discovery Meditation Training Incorporated. She trained extensively as a meditation master and spiritual teacher at the Osho Multiversity in Pune, India. She lives in the San Francisco Bay Area, and her website is pragito.com, P-R-A-G-I-T-O.com, and she's with us right now. Hello.
Hello, Gary.
Hello. Say your name.
It's Pragito.
Okay, Pragito. Thank you. Pragito Dove. And thank you for being with us today on In the Spirit.
Well, you're welcome. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, I'm delighted you're with us. This book is Laughter, Tears, Silence, Expressive Meditations to Calm Your Mind and Open Your Heart. John Gray, author of Men Are from Mars and Women Are from Venus, writes, it demystifies meditation for beginners and inspires experience practitioners. What about these meditation techniques are so useful?
Well, I think what's so useful about them is that they're very doable. Because when I first thought about getting into meditation, which was probably over 30 years ago now, it seemed a very daunting prospect because I thought I had to sit with a rigid back, you know, for hours in the lotus position and possibly chanting mantras. And there was no way I could do that or wanted to do that, so I just didn't do it. It just seemed too difficult. And the idea of the expressive techniques, when we could use the laughter meditation as an example, because that's a very popular meditation and one of my favorites. The first stage is laughter. Well, everybody knows how to laugh. Everybody loves to laugh. So that's easy. And what happens is that opens the doorway. It acts as a bridge to drop deeper into silent meditation, which is the second stage. And so it makes it easier to drop into the silence and stillness that is the goal of all meditation techniques.
Yes, there is. I did a laughter workshop recently with a fellow by the name of Loraji. I don't know whether you know this person, but the whole thing is that I felt in the beginning, well, this is going to be kind of interesting. How do you force laughter? Yet you can elicit laughter like you can elicit anything. What you have to do is turn the faucet on.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly. You don't have to force laughter because, see, the beauty is the laughter is already naturally there. Every child, all of us, we're born full of laughter. It's just, you know, as you say, that the faucet, it got turned off because maybe we were told we shouldn't laugh, you can't laugh here, you can't laugh there, or quiet down, you're laughing too loud, yeah?
Exactly.
And so what happens in the laughter meditation, and with this person you did this laughter evening with, is that we're given permission to laugh. And when we're given the permission, so we're doing the laughter meditation, so of course we're going to be laughing, the laughter just bubbles up. And it's easy, and most people, probably like me, are full of all this repressed laughter that wasn't allowed to come out. So it just bursts forth, as you say. You just turn the faucet on, and there it is. It's the easiest thing in the world. And also, it people love to laugh. So everybody knows that it does you good. I know there's a lot of research.
And your book writes, and I'd like to turn to your book, Laughter, Tears, Silence, about the research. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just going to say, even though there's a lot of research, I think most people just know intuitively that laughter is good for them because we all feel better after a good laugh. Yes?
Yeah, and you give exercises of,
yes.
The, like, 4-minute exercises in some cases.
Yes. Yes, I give a lot of ideas because it depends on your situation and where you are, but for example, you could do 2 minutes of laughter and 2 minutes of sitting in silence for a 4-minute laughter meditation. If you can get a friend to do it with you, that's even more fun. You can certainly do it on your own, and if you have at least one friend, because in meditation, two people is a group. It increases the power.
Yes.
Quite exponentially, actually. And you can do it anywhere, anytime. I mean, I also say, you know, if you can't do the sitting part, any time you have an opportunity to laugh or bring laughter in, then do that, because it all helps. It all contributes to your opening up, to your well-being. And then when you can do the second stage of the sitting in silence, you will go deeper, quicker. That's the beauty of it.
So these are stages, like laughter sets up the sitting in silence stage?
Yes, the laughter acts as a bridge because it releases a tremendous amount of stress. There's so many benefits to laughter, which is why I took up the whole third of the book to talk about it, because it's something when in a way perhaps we almost take for granted. But it heals us on the physical level because it releases so much stress. It enhances our creativity. It makes us feel rejuvenated and regenerated. It's a very sexy energy. It's attractive. People like people who laugh and have a great sense of humor.
That's so true.
So that enhances all our relationships. And laughter also opens the heart up. So it opens us up to more love, both giving and receiving love. It activates the law of attraction, which brings us more good things because we're in that positive vibration. And it also, from the spiritual dimension, see, most people perhaps don't know that laughter has a spiritual dimension. You can actually laugh your way to enlightenment if you want to. Because you can't think and laugh at the same time. You can't be worried and laughing at the same time. So laughter heals fear. And laughter heals the heart. If you have sadness and pain in your heart, laughter can help to heal your heart. And so all these many benefits. So then in the simple activity of laughter, which is everybody knows how to laugh, so then in the second stage, because you've opened yourself up physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, then it's very easy to drop down into inner silence and stillness. So it's a meditation technique that I recommend certainly for beginners and to everybody, because it's very enjoyable, and it's an easy, quick way to start to get the benefit of the inner silence and the inner stillness.
Then you're less distracted, right?
Yes, then it helps you with your focus. Absolutely.
Focus is so important, isn't it?
It's very important to stay focused. And these expressive techniques have been of immense importance to help me to stay focused, because the reason we're not focused and distracted is a lot because of the mind running off hither and thither, thinking about a million things. And a practice of meditation that helps us find that inner peace and that inner stillness and calm and our inner wisdom helps us stay focused on whatever it is we want to do. The mind calms down.
You can apply that to anything.
Exactly. To anything in your life, your work, your relationships, driving your car, anything that you need to be focused on.
Then could you say, Pragito, that meditation can be, your life can become a meditation?
Oh, absolutely. That's a beautiful way to say it, Gary. Thank you for, I love that. Your life can be a meditation.
In that we're doing is these practices are helping us to understand that.
Exactly. Exactly, because the truth is any activity can be a meditation. See, a lot of people are under the false assumption that I was, that meditation was sitting in silence with a straight back. And you do that for 10 or 15 minutes, and then that's it, you're done with meditation for the day. But that is a technique. That is a technique. And the techniques are there to help us find this quality of calm and relaxation and focus that we've been talking about. And once you understand that, so then you understand what meditation is and what it is not, then you can apply it to any activity in your day, cleaning the kitchen floor, driving to work, sitting at your computer.
They say when the sports, for instance, right?
Mm-hmm.
People are very focused when they're playing sports.
Yes.
And so that in a form, that's a form of meditation, isn't it?
It absolutely is a form of meditation. I play tennis, and it's one of my meditations. Because when I'm not, if the mind comes in and starts thinking about something else, hit the ball in the net, not focused, not paying attention. And it shows up in tennis, it shows up in golf, it shows up in sports. And many of the great sports figures have that ability, they call it the zone in sports, don't they, to be fully present with what they are doing, shooting that basket, hitting that golf swing. So absolutely, but it is meditation also.
Just a quick aside, have you been watching the French Open?
I certainly have.
What do you think of that Serena Williams match that she lost?
Well, I think the other girl was just able to hold her nerve.
And I was surprised. Everyone thought she was going to lose it. But there was a couple key shots at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about focus, that she had that slight edge over Serena to win it. It wasn't much, but it was slight, but it was enough.
Exactly, and that's exactly the quality we were talking about. She stayed 100% focused so that her nerves, the mind, didn't interfere with, oh, you can't win this match, you'll never beat Serena Williams, and all that negative self-talk.
And she was going down. She started to succumb to that negative self-talk. You could see that. And then she brought herself up. So that was a real success.
Yes, absolutely.
She almost lost it. She had a commanding lead. She almost lost it all. And then she gained it back at the very end.
Yes. And thank you. This is a beautiful example of how you can stay in mastery of yourself and not allow the mind to interfere and drag you down, and then you lose the match, or you can lose other things in life too. It's the same quality we need, whatever the situation.
To remain focused.
To remain focused and present.
And present.
And calm.
And calm.
Yes.
So we're developing these qualities.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Laughter, and then silence. Meditation. What follows?
After?
The silence.
With the laughter meditation?
No, we've done the laughter, and then that means that you can now sit in silence, right?
Yes, that meditation technique has two stages. First stage is laughter, second stage is sitting in silence.
So what other, now we talk about here expressive meditations to
yes.
calm your mind and open your heart. Let's talk about a few more.
Okay, well, let's talk about the gibberish meditation.
Yes, the gibberish is good.
Because that one is excellent for frustration and anger and irritation. When you feel all kind of boiling inside and bottled up, then you can do 2 minutes of gibberish and just let rip in
yeah.
gibberish.
Yeah.
And let out all the emotion, whatever, let all the emotion out, whatever the charge of the emotion, or it might be tears, it might be sadness, and just allow the tears. Or it could be joy. It could be, you know, anger, frustration, whatever it is, but you can let it all out. That's the expressive part. And then the second stage, when you sit in silence, there's this tremendous relief. Because you've released all this stress
right.
that was kind of running around in your head and broiling inside of you with these tumultuous emotions. So when you release them in that way, as I say, you take the lid off the pressure cooker, and then the silence, the sitting in silence is easy.
Now, give us an example of how one would do the gibberish meditation.
Well, I mean, the gibberish sounds something like this.
Anything like that?
Anything like this, just nonsense sounds.
Nonsense sounds?
Doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
And you should have your eyes closed, and you can also use your body a lot. You know, stamp your feet, shake your head,
mm-hmm.
shake your arms, because tension gets trapped in the body. So the gibberish is a great, great one because you can release a lot of stress from the body. You can vocalize it, you know, and get rid of all the emotional turmoil, and then sit in silence.
Then sit in silence. You know, I think what people may be missing, where they find meditation very difficult to just sit, is because there's a lot, their minds are very active, their thoughts are very active. And they may be emotionally disturbed with some things.
Right.
And they sit, and their bodies may be aching, you know, for some reason. And they sit, and they're not ready to meditate.
Right, because this is almost inner turmoil. It's like all this inner clutter. And it's the whole point of these expressive techniques is to dump the clutter out first. In the
Makes
first
sense.
Stage.
This is very practical.
Exactly. It is. It's super practical. Because, you know, it totally makes sense. And they've certainly worked for me over the last 30 years. That's why I'm so calm now in any situation that presents itself to me. I can remain calm because I've released all this old baggage, you know, from all these pent-up feelings. And particularly these days with the information overload that we are in,
mm-hmm.
With the technology... a technique like the gibberish is very important because we get too much information in our head, and it's like the mind can kind of go into overload. Yeah?
Yes, yes.
Too much trying to stuff too much information in there. And by releasing it all in the gibberish, it creates space.
Yeah.
And that so that the mind can relax, and then the magic is our creativity can come forward and be heard.
Yes.
This is the good part of the mind is it's the expression of our creative thoughts. That's the good part of the mind.
Good part of our mind.
We get rid of all the cluttery stuff because, you know, we could have been spent hours learning all kinds of computer programs which are now obsolete because they change about every month or there's an updated version. Yes.
Yeah.
So we have all that information still running around that the mind has stored. You know, it's kind of like a computer. It stores things. It's kind of like on the computer, yes, when we empty the trash, yes?
Yes.
We put all the stuff we don't want anymore in the trash, but then we empty the trash. Because otherwise, if we keep too much information, the computer's at some point is not going to be able to handle it.
That's right. That's right. I was
and
on a
computer. Crash.
It won't work properly. It won't work for you.
Right. It first of all, the first signs it starts slowing down and doing everything really slowly, and then it just crashes. And our minds are the same. If we have too much information in there, it just get bogged down in it, and we go into overwhelm and kind of feel we're under this weight, this massive amount of stuff we're carrying around, and we need to be able to dump it out. And these meditation techniques are a sacred context within which we can clear out all this inner clutter.
Yes.
And find the relief and the freedom and the relaxation and the calm. And then you can look at the situation, whatever the situation is that you're in, with calm and with clarity and with wisdom, and make good decisions.
Exactly. There's also, we mentioned the laughter. We uh-huh. mentioned the gibberish.
Uh-huh.
What else?
Well, we could talk about the tears.
Yes, let's talk about the tears.
The tears is important. It's the opposite energy of laughter, because sometimes we don't feel like laughing at all. We'd rather just cry, because life has pain in it, because life has death in it. It's a reality of life.
Mm-hmm.
And I find a lot of people don't know how to deal with their pain and their grief. And one of the most common things to do is to stuff it down, maybe with food or with drink or being a workaholic or something. And another thing people sometimes do is they cover it over with anger and get very reactive, whereas really what's underneath the anger is pain.
Yes.
And so the first step is to accept that the pain is there, that the grief is there. So acceptance is key.
Yes.
Which is why the first chapter is in this second section of the book. It's about acceptance.
Acceptance.
Accepting, okay, there's pain there right now, there's grief.
Right.
Allowing it to be there. And the magic is that in the very allowing, feeling the grief, the feeling is the healing.
Yes.
And the problem is that is the fighting it.
Fighting it.
Yeah. In fact, that's really the only problem with all the uncomfortable feelings.
Mm.
Disappointment.
Yeah.
Grief, fear, jealousy.
Yeah.
Is we don't want them to be there.
No.
So we fight them.
Yeah.
We pretend it's not there. We cover it up in some way. And really, that's the only problem, because if we can acknowledge those feelings are there and accept them and allow them to be there, they will heal. They will change of their own accord. So it's really the art of non-doing with the more difficult emotions. It's not so much the something to do as and allowing, just allowing them to be there.
So, for the tears meditation,
mm-hmm.
again that precedes the silent meditation.
Yes, the first part is the allowing the feelings.
Allowing the feelings, right.
Second part is the sitting in silence.
Right. So we're now to three: the laughter, the gibberish, and the tears. The tears. Now, let's say right now. As I'm speaking with you, I can get in touch with some sadness, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I can.
Mm-hmm.
And I could amplify that.
Mm-hmm.
Would you and really express it, right?
Yes. Well, you can't force tears.
No.
So you might, in your allowing, you might start crying.
It may happen.
It may happen. It also may not happen, which is also okay.
It's also okay.
Yes. Because the key is simply the allowing the sadness to be there.
And you do that, what, in an exercise for a few minutes?
Yes. I mean, for example, you could start experimenting and you could do 2 minutes of allowing the pain or the sadness and then 2 minutes sit in silence.
Mm.
Or you could take longer.
Yeah.
Depending on, if you're in full grief, somebody's just died or you're, you know.
It's not going to be hard.
Yes, but also go for it.
Go for it.
You know, I mean, something you can do is put on some sad music to provoke the sadness and just allow it to be there, to let the tears flow.
Mm.
And it is deeply, deeply healing. I've done this many times myself.
Well, I've actually been, it's, I may see a, watch a movie or listening to a piece of music, or been in where I've had what is called a darshan healing kind of work, not a workshop, but with doing work with us spiritually, where someone does work with you in a darshan, and and when and in all these instances, I've felt the tears and the grief and the sadness all come up, and I've learned the healing power of the tears, because I felt like so relieved afterwards, so great, happy. I'd be smiling and laughing then afterwards. I'd be just happy internally, a sense of quiet beauty that I felt, you know.
Yes.
It's just an acceptance.
That's right.
Because that which was inside that needed to come up came up.
Yes, because you allowed it to come up and you didn't fight it and you didn't repress it.
No. And if I feel it's on the verge, and if I'm by, even if I'm driving my car sometimes, if I feel it's on the verge, you know, I'll kind of let it out.
That's wonderful.
You know, I just will, you know. And because there's, in, there's a healing message in it too, you know, that comes with it.
Absolutely. Some,
it's telling you there's a healing message. And it all really comes down when to bottom line is accepting who we are, loving nature.
Yes.
Because that's who we are, you know.
Right.
And it has been suppressed or repressed. And what your expressive meditation techniques help us to relieve ourselves from that oppression we've been feeling and express it out so our true nature becomes revealed.
That's exactly right. That's beautifully put.
Yeah, and so so good. In this book, Laughter, Tears, Silence, Expressive Meditations to Calm Your Mind and Open Your Heart, it's on New World Library, and Pragito Dove is our guest. And your website is pragito.com. What would people find? What will people find when they click onto that?
They will find information about, well, I have a free weekly meditation they can sign up for to get a little meditation every week to try. And I have laughter meditation teletrainings, which are very popular. Well, we get together on the phone because I have people all over the world, actually, and we get together on the phone to do the laughter meditation. They can also become part of the Laughing Buddhist Network, which we are creating a worldwide epidemic of laughter meditation, and that's free to be a part of that. And I have trainings as well. I have practitioner certification trainings because these meditations are very new to America, and I want to train as many people as possible so that they can be shared with as many people as possible.
Well, that's good. Pragito.com.
Correct.
Yes, thank you. Well, this is very very good to be talking with you about these things. And better yet, to even practice these things.
Yes, it certainly is. They're very rewarding, instantaneously, because you get a quick feedback. If you do some gibberish, some laughter, there's a dancing meditation, there's a humming meditation, for example, and it's very quickly that you feel more calm and relaxed.
You say, there's also dancing, right?
Yes.
Shaking.
Yes.
And tell us, and in your book, you have If you follow the book right along, it will, you know, these things are taken in progression, right?
Yes.
Stage one, stage two, stage three, and it show and it guides you right along by using the book. And shaking, you write, the shaking meditation is great for releasing physical stress and tension and bringing you to inner stillness and silence. If you like this technique, do it every day or as often as you can find the time. The best time to do it is at the end of the day when you get home from work. It's a great way to literally shake off the tensions of the day, leaving you refreshed to enjoy your evening. It can also bring you insight and clarity about your day. I love that idea. Just shake. Shake your hand, shake your head, shake any parts of your, all parts of your body, right?
Yes.
Shake it. And then sit, right, in silence.
Yes. Well, actually, that technique has four stages.
Yeah.
Shaking, as you described first. Second stage is dancing, any dancing you want to do.
And then,
and there is a CD soundtrack to this meditation.
I love this. I really do. This part really, I really resonate with it. The shaking and then the dancing.
And then you sit.
Yeah.
And then you lie down.
Yeah.
And it's one of my favorites.
Yes.
It really is. I've done it a million times, and every time I start doing it, I just so happy I'm doing it again. And as I say, there is a soundtrack CD to go with it, which really helps.
This is on your website.
It's on my website. There's a book CDs tab, and
Good.
You can find the CD for the shaking meditation and for all the meditations and my CDs you'll find on my website, yes.
Pragito, P-R-A-G-I-T-O, yes.com. Yes, very good. I can see how this is very helpful to do. I'll tell you, I do kirtan, which I sing. It's a call and response.
Yes.
Very healing for me.
Mm-hmm.
And at times I'll get up and dance.
Oh, yes. Singing and dancing.
And that is so good.
Yes.
It happens at the right time during the kirtan when it feels right. You just don't want to sit anymore.
Exactly. The body wants to dance.
The body wants to dance.
And celebrate and have fun, yes?
And it's sort of like I'm depriving my legs and my bottom part of my body of the experience. I may be doing everything with my up above that while I'm sitting on the floor, but the rest of my body is not getting the experience it needs.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I'm consciously aware of doing this for myself, doing this for the rest of my body, so it can experience a complete healing from head to toe.
That's exactly right. You get the physical, you get the emotional, you get the spiritual, and it's calming for the mind. Because when you involve the body and the spirit, the heart and the soul like that, it just fills you with joy.
It does.
Because the body loves to dance and sing.
Yes, sing.
Is an amazing combination.
It really is.
Wonderful.
I love doing it, and I love talking with you about all these because it's I can see how I'm incorporating these in some aspects, you know.
Oh, you absolutely are.
Yeah.
These are all different types of meditation techniques, and I love the singing and the dancing ones because also they're fun, like the laughter.
Yes.
You know, and it's like meditation doesn't have to be some grim and austere
right.
practice. It can be fun, and you can have a playful attitude, which is what I'm saying in the first third of the book, to have a playful attitude to meditation.
That's awesome.
And find ones that you enjoy.
Yes.
Because then you just feel amazing very quickly, and they work for you very quickly and very profoundly as well.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much. We got to do a short station break, and when we come back, I want to talk with you about, because you've done a lot of part of your book is about silence too, so we want to talk about silent meditations as well.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back with Pragito Dove.
It's my first day to be a big brother. Maybe I'll take him to a movie. No, not big enough. I'll take him to a carnival. Yeah, we can go on a Ferris wheel. It's gotta be big. It's gotta be huge.
Hi, I'm Alex.
Hey, Alex. I'm Felipe. What do you want to do today?
I was thinking maybe watch the game on TV.
Yeah, cool. I was thinking that too.
When you're a mentor, it doesn't matter what you do. The important thing is spending time together. To be a mentor, go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org. A public service message brought to you by Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and the Ad Council.
10,000 watts of pure alternative radio. This is 91.5 WRPI Troy.
And I'm happy to say that you're listening to In the Spirit here on WRPI Troy. I am your host, Gary Goldberg, and we're so happy to have Pragito Dove as our guest in this hour. And we're talking about her book, Laughter, Tears, Silence, Expressive Meditations to Calm Your Mind and Open Your Heart. And she's with us right now. Hello, Pragito.
Hi, Gary.
Hi. And again, your website, pragito.com, P-R-A-G-I-T-O.com. And as she was mentioning, there's CDs that you can that can help with your these practices. And these practices are somewhat revolutionary, aren't they?
Yes, they're very revolutionary because traditionally meditation has been sitting in silence, the technique which was created by Gautama the Buddha 25 centuries ago of witnessing the mind, which is an amazing technique, and it is to this day. But what's happened is that our lives have become filled with tension. In the days of Gautama the Buddha, people's lives were naturally meditative. They worked on the land, which is very grounding. They didn't have computers. Maybe somebody in the village had a bicycle, you know?
Yes.
But these days, if you look at our lifestyles, they're just filled with business and the technology and fast this and fast that and fast the other. And what this does is it speeds the mind up, it amps up the mind. The body and the heart can't go at that pace. So if our mind gets caught up in it, it drives the body to do things that the body eventually can't keep up, and it can start to break down. And the heart and our emotional body as well needs time to process things.
Yes.
Especially something like grief that we've been talking about. You can't hurry up and get over something. You know, it needs some time if your spouse has passed away or something like that. And so this century, we need a new approach, which is what these techniques are. Because meditation can profoundly help us to manage the benefits of all this technology, which is wonderful, the internet and
right.
And all these scientific discoveries to help with health problems and so on. I mean, it's fantastic. But at the moment, I think that's got a bit ahead of us, and we need to give time for our spirits, our souls, and our bodies and our hearts to kind of catch up with all these advances in technology.
Yes.
So we need to pay attention and get ourselves into balance.
Right.
So that we can have the technology and all the benefits and the scientific discoveries, and at the same time we can remember our inner wisdom and the wisdom of the body and the wisdom of the heart, so that we keep ourselves in balance and keep it, I mean, most importantly for our health, because the body, as I said, it starts to break down if we don't pay attention.
Right.
And for our hearts, because love is very, very important to us human beings, our relationships.
Yes, it is.
And love is the center of our lives. What is a life without love in it?
It's true.
And I think a lot of people have gone crazy making piles of money or just living these, you know, extremely fast lives, and suddenly realize they don't have any love in their life.
Wow.
They've been too focused on, you know, career. And the truth is, we can have it all. We can.
Mm.
We can have the career, we can have the money, we can have all this wonderful technology, and we can have our inner wisdom, the wisdom of the body and the wisdom of the heart, and love. It's just we have to learn how to do that to keep the balance. And these meditations, many of which were designed and created by Osho, many also that he updated for us for this very reason I'm talking about, so that we could release the turmoil, as we've been talking about, and then it's easy to sit in silence, as Gautama the Buddha showed us. So Osho kind of showed us an extra step, if you like, that we need to implement, express, don't repress, whatever's going on.
Yes.
And then you get the ultimate benefits of the silence, the calm, the stillness within, which is there. It's there within us all the time. It's just we're too busy to notice or to be in touch with it. So we have to make time. We have to promise ourselves that we will create time. And, you know, the shortest technique in this book is 30 seconds. So for people who say to me, I don't have time for meditation, I say, do you have 30 seconds?
Yeah.
Could you give 30 seconds a day?
Can we do a 30-second meditation?
30-second stop technique.
How does that?
Well, you just stop.
Stop.
For 30 seconds.
Stop everything.
Stop everything.
Okay, I'm not going to do it on the radio.
Right.
but that's what we do.
That's what you do. And I love doing that. Sometimes I'm all got papers sitting at my desk and all these, you know, great long to-do lists. And sometimes I just stop.
Right.
And I close my eyes for 30 seconds. And I breathe.
And you breathe.
Breathing is very important.
Consciously.
Yes.
Mm.
And I breathe. And I just say, hello, Brigitte.
Yeah.
Because Brigitte can get lost in all the busyness.
Right.
Yes?
Yeah.
Hello, Brigitte. How are you doing?
Yeah.
And then I might notice, oh, I need to drink, get a glass of water. Or, oh, I think my legs are getting a bit, I need to just stand up and you know, go to the window and breathe some fresh air or shake my arms a little bit.
Huh. It sounds like you're checking in on yourself.
Yeah, it's like a check-in.
Check-in.
Yes.
You can do that as many times as you want during the
whenever
day, right?
You want, wherever you are.
Wow.
You could be sitting at traffic lights in your car, not when you're driving, but if you're sitting at a traffic light, then you could just, okay, I could do the 30-second stop technique.
Yeah.
Hello, Brigitte.
Yeah.
Okay, relax. You don't have to grip the steering wheel so tightly, do you? You know? Are you breathing? Oops, no, I wasn't.
Yeah.
Let's breathe. You know, the easiest way really is to focus on the body with the breathing. And how comfortable is the body or not?
Mm.
What does the body need something?
Yeah.
Be more comfortable.
Right.
Be more at ease.
Yes.
Be more relaxed. Because if you remember the body in that manner, then the heart and the mind, they will relax behind that.
Body first.
Body first. Always body first.
Right. That's the key to these practices.
Yes. The body first. Because as I say to my students, you know, if you don't have your health, if you're not breathing, where are you going?
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
You know? And if you want to spend your time in and out the hospital or something, but, you know, if you want to have your health, that's the number one reason to do this for your health, yes?
That's right.
Because when the body is happy, it fills you with joy.
Right.
Happy body, joy.
Joy.
And then life's problems or situations, whatever it is, they're much easier to face.
When we sit in silence, what's the benefit of that?
The benefit is that you get in touch with your inner wisdom, your inner calm and stillness and peace.
Do we do anything when we sit in silence? Just sit?
Just sit.
Close eyes?
Close eyes. You check that the body is comfortable.
Mm.
So
you've prepared yourself, and now you're sitting.
You prepare. You have it, your favorite chair or your favorite arrangement of
you've
cushions.
Done your laughter, gibberish, or whatever it is beforehand.
Done now all you, that now, beforehand.
Now
you, yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then you just sit, and you watch.
Mm.
Now, this is the technique from the Buddha, the watching or the witnessing the mind.
Right.
And it's very powerful.
That's it.
And you simply watch with non-judgment
right. And
compassion for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the mind will start judging. What are you sitting here for? This is a waste of time. And, oh, you're so stupid. You shouldn't have done this. And you, why did you do that? Yes, that this is what the mind does. It judges and compares. But, okay, thank you for sharing. But I'm just sitting here doing my meditation right now. And the five magic words for the mind, let the mind pass by. No fighting, no concentration, no effort. Simply watch and let the thoughts pass by.
Wow.
It's very easy.
Watch and let the thoughts pass by.
Yep.
Very beautiful. It's like because they're likened to like clouds, aren't they, thoughts?
Yes, you can liken them to clouds, exactly.
Because you see them, they look solid enough, but of course if you get closer to them in an airplane, you just go right through them.
Right.
But they're not real. They're not as solid as they look.
Right.
And they're there for only a period of time, and then they're gone.
Right. They drift by.
They drift by. And our thoughts, we give them a reality they really don't have.
Exactly. Exactly. And so we do that when we fight them and try and force.
Right.
No fighting.
No.
Just relaxing and watching and observing and let them go by.
Yeah.
I mean, when I started doing this, I had all these soap operas going in about this person and that person dragging up stuff from the past and, you know, projecting worrying thoughts into the future.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the mind does.
Mm-hmm.
And you just notice and you just let it all pass by.
Let it all pass
by. Because it's all soap operas, actually.
It really is.
It's all soap operas, and you just relax. And over time, it's a very powerful technique, because over time, the mind loses its grip on you.
Yeah.
And then you can access your inner wisdom.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Which is much more powerful than the thoughts of the mind. And your inner wisdom, you want to be listening to your inner wisdom, because it gives you, it's like your best friend.
Yes.
It gives you guidance for you.
Yeah.
And its whole agenda is for you to succeed and for you to be happy and to you have everything go with grace and ease in your life.
Yes.
Because that's what the universe wants for us.
That's right.
And when we pay attention to those, that guidance from within ourselves, magical things happen.
Yes. I like that. So it's very clear for me that I'm replacing my thoughts with inner wisdom.
Yes. And in a way, you're not even really replacing it, because thoughts will still be there, because the mind is there.
Mm.
So it's not like trying to force the mind to not be there or to not have thoughts.
But you're not giving power to them.
You're not giving power to them. And the other thing is this, that in between each thought, there is a piece of silence.
Mm-hmm.
Just like in between each musical note, there is silence.
Mm.
The silence distinguishes one note from another in music.
Yes.
And it's the silence that distinguishes one thought from another.
Yes.
And as I'm speaking to you, I'll slow down.
Yes.
It is the silence that distinguishes each word I speak from the next.
That's so true. If I think that if there isn't any silence between your words, it would just sound like one long sound.
Exactly. It would be nonsense.
I wouldn't be able to understand it at all.
It would make no sense. Exactly. And so the silence makes it make sense.
Yeah.
The silence makes our lives make sense.
Yeah. The space between the actions.
Yes.
The space between the thoughts.
That's right.
Is our true nature.
That's right. And the more you observe, what happens is that the mind starts to slow down over time.
Right.
And then when it starts to slow down, it's easier to see the gaps of silence in between the thoughts.
Yes.
And sometimes you might have a few minutes of just silence without any thoughts there.
Mm.
It's not something you can control. That's just serendipity. It's just going to happen, or it's not going to happen.
Yes.
That's not for us to try and mess with. But the beauty is when you do it over time, that's what happens.
Yes.
But then you might have another day when the mind's just going like, you know, rush hour on the freeway.
Right.
And charging along like, you know, wild horses. And so you just relax and say, okay, it's busy today, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just relax and observe.
That falls under looking without judging.
Exactly.
And we have in your book the 4-minute meditation with that. There's meditations for non-judgment, and then you have a meditation for walking down the street.
Yes.
So that they're witnessing, you can use everything. Listen to music.
Yes, music can help.
Yeah, music can help.
Music can help because music can take us, it makes it easier for us because music can take us deeper into the inner calm. And also you can consciously listen to music, especially in that I recommend particular music because you want to, if you can, find music where there is more so silence. You can hear the silence between the notes.
Yes.
So that you just, it's another way to practice this technique of the witnessing.
Yes, it is. I see what you're talking about. Well, you know, we've got a few minutes left, just look at the chapter, Opening the Heart, Silence and Love.
Mm-hmm.
And in the second, on the page 151, you write, love and meditation are inextricably intertwined. The path of love leads to meditation, and the path of meditation leads to love. When two people fall in love, they drop their egos, hypocrisies and masks. They want to be together almost as one soul with two bodies. That's the desire of love. This is a beautiful opportunity to transform this energy into a meditation and to bring the balance of love and meditation into your life. And then you have the 4-minute meditation, Opening to Self-Love. So again, I want to underscore that this is a book you can use. This is a book very workmanlike. I mean, you use
yes,
this
practical.
It's practical. You can it helps you, and it's laughter, tears, silence, expressive meditations to calm your mind and open your heart. Pragito Dove, and it's been called provocative and engaging, and above all, very real, full of rich lessons in the nature of living a great life. So this is, you know, unlike many books, here this is a book you can just keep around,
and, oh, absolutely,
and
yes.
use, and we want, you know, I think of mastering my life, self mastery. This is a great way to do it, you know.
Yes, yes. In fact, you know, I had a letter from a woman who bought this book, and she said she's been doing all the meditations in the book. And it's really transformed her life because she would read a chapter and then do the techniques.
Mm.
Because we have to do them.
Got to do them.
I mean, reading about it is great.
Yeah.
But we must do the
gotta
techniques.
Do them.
And experience.
Well, that's what I plan on doing. I want to do them, and as we've been sharing, I've incorporated some of this in my life. But I want to do it more on a very, you know, focused manner, and in a deliberate manner, and to really gain in my own meditation to gain deeper awareness of myself. So that's very important.
Yes, and it's the consistency too.
It's a consistency. Do it every day. Do something every day.
Something every day.
Something.
Even if it's the 30 seconds
yeah.
or 1 minute, there's a 1 minute gibberish.
Do something every day.
You know, 1 minute sitting
yeah.
or 2 minutes or 4 minutes. But if you can do something every
something.
Day,
yeah.
that is very powerful.
Well, people can start by going to your website, I think,
yes.
pragito.com, pragito.com, and then that will open you up to where to more of what we're talking about. And I want to thank you for being with us today.
Well, thank you, Gary. I've enjoyed talking with you very much.
I have enjoyed talking with you as well. And any closing words you'd like to share with our listeners?
I think what I want to do is encourage everybody, however daunting meditation might seem, or it just seems too difficult or hard, give it a, give it a try. Try some of these techniques. Find ones that you enjoy and persevere, because meditation has been around for thousands of years and it's completely transformed my life and the lives of my students. And I cannot say enough to encourage you to give it a try and stay with it.
Give it a try and stay with it.
Yes.
And again, pragito.com, P-R-A-G-I-T-O, the book Laughter, Tears, Silence, Expressive Meditations to Calm Your Mind and Open Your Heart, Pragito Dove. Thank you so much for being with us. Would you like to stay on the line? I'll speak with you for a moment.
I will, yes.
Thank you.
Amazing CD there.
a double CD live in concert. Sanatam Kaur with Guru Ganesha Singh, Manish Vyas, and Ram Dass. I want to thank Pragito Dove for that last hour. You're listening to WRPI Troy, the Upstate Underground. We're going to do a What's Going On Here, which is WRPI's community calendar of events. We present weekdays at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m., Sundays at 8 p.m. as well. If you would like your announcement read in WRPI's What's Going On Here, send a copy of your printed announcement to What's Going On Here, WRPI, 1 WRPI Plaza, Troy, New York, 12180-3590. Please send all announcements at least 1 week in advance. If you would like more information, you can visit our website at www.wrpi.org. Remember that What's Going On Here is a public service from your friends at WRPI Troy. Sanatam Kaur, by the way, will be at Kripalu on Saturday. I don't know whether there's tickets left. You go to sanatamkaur.com. A devotional chanting immersion with David Newman, Durga Das, and Mira for an unforgettable week-long immersion into the healing and uplifting ancient Indian tradition of devotional chanting known as Kirtan, the Kirtan College, that will be taking place with David Newman and Mira. Will be at Kripalu. We'll be in Kripalu, and you can go to davidnewmanmusic.com, kripalu.org, K-R-I-P-A-L-U. The first Boston Yoga and Chant Fest, chanting performances by Wa, Ansara, Shamdas, Prajna, Guravani, Shublananda, Dave Russell, and many yoga teachers will be taking place on June 26th on a Saturday, noon to midnight, shunyamproductions.com, S-H-U-N-W-A, shunyamproductions.com. World Peace and Prayer Day, June 21st, summer solstice. And there will be many activities going on. You can go to musicasprayer.com for more information. Musicasprayer.com. There'll be a World Peace and Prayer Day event in Woodstock on Monday, June 21st from 5 to 8 p.m. The event is an interfaith circle of prayer, ceremony and song in honor of Mother Earth. The location is St. Gregory's Episcopal Church, Route 212, Woodstock, New York. Your email is linda.martine@gmail.com, and the phone number is 845-863-6712. 845-863-6712 for the World Peace and Prayer Day event in Woodstock on Monday, June 21st from 5 to 8 p.m. Yoga for Women's Health and Well-Being Workshop with Sudha Carolyn Lundeen, and that's on June 6th from 9:30 to 11:30 p.m. at the Hindu Cultural Center in Loudonville, 450 Albany Shaker Road. And Sudha will be leading a health and wellness workshop, which includes breathing and meditation. And so you can go to capitalyoga@yahoo.com for more information. Capitalyoga@yahoo.com for more information. And thank you. Phone number is 518-383-8016 for that Yoga for Women's Health and Well-Being Workshop. 383-8016. Thank you. What's Going On Here is WRPI's community calendar of events. We present it every day at 11 a.m., 3 p.m., and 8 p.m. If you would like your announcement read on WRPI's What's Going On Here, send a copy of your printed announcement to What's Going On Here. WRPI, 1 WRPI Plaza, Troy, New York, 12180-3590. Please send all listings at least 1 week in advance. If you would like more information, you can visit our website at www.wrpi.org. Remember that What's Going On Here is a public service from your friends at WRPI Troy.
Let us free each other with our prayers, with our voice.